Love jazz like I do. I like jazz. I like that. Praise the Lord. Wow. Let me find something here before I get too far along. Well, how many of you had a great week? Do you have a good Valentine's weekend? Do some special stuff? Yeah? Yeah, I heard, I saw a picture. I don't know if we got it downloaded. We probably didn't. Of Greg went to his wife's school where she's studying Greek, and he wrote on the blackboard in Greek that he loved her and left her a rose. Is that not? Oh, yeah. Yeah. I heard Marshall fixed a meal for his wife and took her out shopping. What all you do? How many of you did nothing? Well, well, I hope you had a great time. Our encouragement was to be creative. We want to enter the, oh, we did get the picture. There it is. Very good, Greg. Is he good? His wife said she felt so special. That's right. That's right. Well, here's the church outside the walls. We've been showing a picture every week. So where's the church? After you leave here, what happens? This is just the beginning, but it's wherever your feet are. That's where the ministry is. These are some folks from the early service. Darlene and Diane. Diane's a teacher in the public school system. And Darlene went and took cookies and gave a bag of cookies to all the children in her class and blessed each one of them. I was there. I saw it. If you've never been kissed by her, it's quite an experience. Yeah. And she kissed each one of those children and blessed them. And it was just awesome to see it. And I'm sitting there thinking, this is the church. This is the church. You know, God's called us not to. Where sometimes we're a prisoner to this thing when really it's out there. And I just want to encourage you again, recognize wherever you go, God has planted you strategically. And as we were talking about this week, we also had opportunities to express our love to one another and our appreciation. I don't know about you, but I just love Valentine's Day. And I hope you took advantage of it. Remember we talked about the little Valentine boxes we make when we were kids and put a little slash in it when you were in school, right? Well, little Cooper sent me a picture of the box he made this year. You talk about creativity. There's his box. And the little heart on there says, are you flushed? Are you flushed? So I hope you got creative. Creativity is a good thing, right? Amen. Well, we're going to continue our message this week, the 11th commandment, part 2, all right? Last week, we were talking about Jesus meeting with his disciples. It's the getting towards the end. Jesus knows what's coming, and he's spending time with his disciples, preparing them for what's ahead. And they're having some great conversations. How many of you know that the final words of a man are pretty important. Is that right? Even in our, you know, somebody. In fact, I was remembering there was a friend of ours who was passing away, and we were called to his home. And I went into the room of my friend, and he was pretty bedridden and kind of in and out of things. And in there were his sisters and his nieces and all these ladies taking care of him. And we were standing there talking, and he began to motion to me that he wanted to talk to me. And all the ladies got pretty excited because they thought, oh, this is going to be one of those final words. And he motioned for them to back away, and they did. And I went up by his bed, and he signaled for me to come down. He pulled me close to him, and he whispered in my ear, Joe, Pastor Joe, these women are driving me crazy. Okay. So I prayed with him, got done and went out in the room. What'd he say? What'd he say? What'd he say? What are you going to tell him? I said, well, I couldn't tell him. I just said, well, we had a personal time of prayer together, right? Amen. Well, the final words of Jesus aren't like that at all, are they? He wants us, he's wanting us to hear very clearly what he's saying. And it's for everybody to hear. And I don't know about you, but I've often wondered. I wonder how he spoke the words. In these last days, was you think he was passionate? Do you think he was tender? Well, how was it? Did he look them in the eyes? Did he put his arm around them? Maybe around their shoulder and just kind of pulled them in close so he could have that intimate conversation? Because these are the last words. Well, I don't know about you, because we really don't know, but I think because of the nature of the moment, I'm voting for tenderness. How about you? I'm voting that Jesus wanted to speak words of life in them to prepare them for what was coming. And he got their attention right out of the bat with the first six words when he said to them, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you. That you also love one another. By this all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another." Now, we considered this commandment in relationship, of course, to the Big Ten, right? If you come to my office and you come to my door, that's the first thing you see hanging on the door when you come in, if you've been there. God's top ten. And I love to watch people read them. I've never had anyone say, "What's this?" Everyone knows. How many people have not heard of the Ten Commandments? And, of course, these commandments were given, and we learned last week several things about the Ten Commandments. What were the three things that we learned? What's the first one? That no one keeps them perfectly, at least not in this church, because I asked for a show of hands, and nobody raised their hand. Nobody. In fact, the scriptures are clear, and James said, if you fall short in even one, you've missed them all. I don't know what kind of batting average you have, but 500 would be good, wouldn't it? Why were these laws written? We saw that they were written, number two, to show us our sin. We wouldn't even know we were sinners without the law. And thirdly, and most importantly, the law was given to tutor us and to bring us to Christ, Galatians 3:24, to draw us to Christ that we might be justified by faith. The law, we often take great pride. We're not under the law, bless God. Well, I understand what you're saying, but the law was important. And Jesus, 1,300 years later, made an astonishing claim. He said, "Don't think that I came to destroy the law, but I didn't come to destroy it, but I came to fulfill it." The Apostle Paul, talking about the law, said this, "The commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and what other commandment there may be, are summed up in this one command, that you love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to a neighbor, therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law." And that's kind of where we left off last week, isn't it? As we talked about the desire to be imitators of God as dear children and to walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us. As we begin to consider what this love looks like, we need to be aware that in the Greek language, there are many words for love. Unfortunately, in our own language, how many words do we have? One. So when we're reading, it's important to understand what words are being used in the Greek. And this morning, I've chosen to take three Greek words that we're going to use to help understand love. In fact, my wife and I, we spend a lot of time in premarital counseling with couples. And we usually spend at least 5 months in the relationship. And during those 5 months, we talk about the pyramid of love. And I want to share it with you today, and so that you can understand how this works in our lives and in our relationships. Here's the first Greek word, which everybody knows, right? Agape, love. By the way, my wife made this for me. She did a good job, didn't she? I just asked her Friday, "Hey, could you do this?" And she said, "Sure, I will." And I came home, and here it was. Isn't this awesome? She uses Velcro. How many love Velcro? Yeah. I fix everything with Velcro. I fix my car with Velcro. It's the most amazing thing. It probably came from the space program, didn't it, I think. So here's a second Greek word for love. Phileo. And the third, these are the three we're going to use today. Eros. It's important that we understand this pyramid because these words, even though they all translate love, mean different things. Eros love is where we get the word erotic. It's a passion. It's romance. It's the physical attraction. If this was an iceberg, this is what sticks out of the water. It's our physical attraction to one another. When you first met that special love in your life, I know people say, "Well, it was love at first sight." Yeah, it was Eros is what it was. Right? Because you didn't have time to develop a relationship. You didn't. I mean, it was like, whoa. I remember when I first saw Connie, I was in a restaurant and I went, "Who is that? Wow, something was happening," you know. But that was Eros love. Phileo love is friendship love. It's based on, and I often say in my relationship with my wife, I believe she's my best friend. I like being with the guys. How many like to go camping? I like to go camping. I heard Greg got a tent for Valentine's Day. Is that right? Woo-hoo, came home and it was set up in the living room. Is that cool? What a gift. Oh, you know, nothing like sitting around a campfire with a bunch of guys. But I'll tell you what, if I had to choose, I'd rather be with this lady right here because she's my best friend. And friendship is part of love. It's part of the pyramid. Agape love, that's a selfless love. That love has nothing to do with emotions or feelings. It's all pure decision. Haleo love is friendship. When Jesus was supposed to come to the tomb of Lazarus, and they said, oh, how he loved them. It was actually talking about this love here. What they were saying is that Jesus and Lazarus were good friends. They were buds. They loved each other. 1 Peter 3:8, I love this word. It comes from that word, a little different, but comes from that root word. He says in 3:8, it says that, guys, we're to love our wives with brotherly love. How many of you think of that the first thing right off the bat, huh? When I look at my wife, I don't think about my brother. But what it's talking about is friendship, right? It's friendship. In fact, Philadelphia comes from that word, and it's called the city of what? Oh, really? It's friendship and love. We talk about the importance of friendship in a relationship. A lot of times in relationships, this pyramid gets turned upside down and heiress love becomes the foundation. Those relationships don't last very long because they're based totally in the emotion and the feelings. But it's this agape love that what we want to focus on today. It's that love that becomes our foundation. Agape love is throughout the scriptures. John 3:16, for God so agaped the world that he gave his only begotten son. When Jesus was talking to Peter in John 21, remember where he asked him three times if he loved him? He said, Peter, do you agape me? And you know what Peter said? Lord, I phileo you. Jesus asked him again, Peter, do you agape me? And Peter said, Lord, I phileo you. He was saying, Lord, we're friends. You know, we're buds. You know, yeah, we've been together. Jesus was calling him to something else. He wanted him to love him on a different level. In Matthew 5:43, the writer says, we are to agape our enemies. Well, that right there ought to give you a little hint. That love's not about emotions. It's not about feelings. This is not for my enemies. This is for my enemies. Because this love is a decision. We're going to unpack it today and see exactly what it looks like. In Colossians 3:19, men are told to agape their wives. We are to love our wives in Ephesians as Christ loves the church. It's agape love. That's what we're exhorted to do. Now, the Apostle Paul wrote a letter to the church of Corinth. And in that letter, he talked about agape love. In fact, it's the 13th chapter. It's known as the what chapter? The love chapter. That's right. However, I got to tell you, if you really want a more expanded view of it, go to 1 John. In 1 John, there are 49 verses about agape love. Wow, that's where you can really get the broader version. But this is the most popular in 1 Corinthians 13. In fact, if you're married, they probably read this scripture at your wedding, didn't they? Sure, I read it at every wedding I do. And it's appropriate because it's supposed to be an expression of the kind of love that we have for one another. But the reality is, the spiritual reality is that agape love is much broader than just marriage. It actually affects every relationship we have. And so the Apostle Paul writes to the Corinthian church. Now, what kind of church was this? Well, we would call it a charismatic, spirit-filled church. Is that right? Yeah. Oh, yeah. They had all the gifts going. Man, it was a power church. Things were happening. I'd have liked to pastor that church. That would have been an exciting place to be, wouldn't it? However, there was a little problem. And the apostle wanted to bring it to their attention. Something was missing in the church. Even though they had all these things going, they were dead in the water. It was the 11th commandment. It was mysteriously absent, or at least it was at low tide. And so Paul spoke these words. He said, if I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong and a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have faith that can move mountains, but I do not have love, I'm nothing. Anybody getting this? This is like, you got to be kidding me. Wait a minute. That's all the stuff I want in the church. I want to see people come alive. I would like to see people express, to speak with authority, with angelic language, to have prophecy and faith that moves mountains, to know all mysteries and have all knowledge. Man, that would be the church I'd want to be. Paul said, you can have all that. But if you don't have love, it's nothing. He said, if I give all I possess to the poor. Some of you took the Blessed Life classes on Sunday night. We were talking about giving. Wow, that'd be great. Yeah, let's give all we have to the poor. That'd be a righteous thing to do, a spiritual thing to do. He said, you can do that. You can even give your body to hardship, or some translations, you can give your body to be burned. You can become a martyr for Christ. But if you don't have love, you gain nothing. See, what he's talking about, it's all about the motive, isn't it? What is behind these things we do? Love becomes the gasoline in the engine, this agape love. The writer is simply saying, and you need to get the, I think it's loud and clear. He's shouting it to us. If you don't have this right, nothing is right. That's what I've committed my life to. Here I am, I'm in the last quarter of my life. I want to spend my life loving people. How about you? I want to, God is love, and I want to become love. I just want to spend my time reaching out and touching folks with the kingdom. And how do you do that? You need the gifts. You need all those things operating, but you've got to have love. It is the foundation of this pyramid. And the stronger it grows, the more powerful it becomes. When Paul began to write this letter to the Corinthian church, and in your program you'll see this noted, He identified 8 things that this love is and 8 things that it is not. I've color-coded it so you can kind of find them here. The blue, it's kind of hard to see. I should have made it green because green means go and red means stop, right? So we're looking at 8 things that this love is and 8 things that this love is not. Let's read it together. He says, love is patient. This love, agape, is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It's not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. And it keeps no record of wrongs. It does not delight in evil, but it rejoices with the truth. It always protects. It always trusts. It always hopes. It always perseveres. This love never fails. Have you ever heard someone say, well, I just don't love her anymore? How's that possible? That's possible up here. It's not possible here. Because this love never fails. The agape love, that's the power love, isn't it? Look at it. Love is patient. Let's replace the words. When you say, I love someone, you're saying, I'm patient with them. Are you? It's one thing to tell somebody you love them. I love you. My wife always says it's the 3 easiest, hardest words to get right. I love you. You can say it. I love you. I love you. Sometimes when people say I love you, what are they saying? They're saying, I want you. Right? You know about this, do you? I want you. Girls, listen up. When guys say I love you, make sure you find out what kind of love they're talking about, right? Are they saying, I agape you? Do I agape you? This love, I love you. Well, why can't we say, well, I want to be patient with you? The church, I believe, if we're not careful, we can have all the components that we would so desire in the church, but if you leave this one out, everything collapses. The church ought to be the most patient place on the planet. It ought to be a place where you can come and we agape one another. Is God patient with us? Your translation might say long-suffering. I don't like that word. Do you like that word? Suffering? Long-suffering? This love is long-suffering. That means I can suffer a long time for you if I love you. If I love you, I can go the distance with you because this love never fails. If somebody says they love you and they're not patient, I question what kind of love we're talking about. Love is kind. Sometimes the church is a very unkind place. Have you found that out? We used to always say, man, church can be dangerous. So, you ever been hurt in the church? Don't say, man, we're getting real today, huh? Woo! You ever been wounded in the church? Somebody's words, you know. I believe that this is the antidote right here, because if we're really agaping one another, we're going to be patient, we're going to be kind. It does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud. Pride is one of the greatest enemies of agape love, because this is a selfless love. This is a selfless love. And pride will kill it every time. See, we make it all about us, don't we? Even in our dealings with God, we want God, bless me, bless me, bless me. It's all about us, isn't it? Everything, you know, oh, that's why we get offended, because it's all about us. See, you can't offend me because I love you too much. What's he say here? Listen to this. Anything jumping out at you here? It does not dishonor others. That never happens in the church, does it? It's not self-seeking. It's not easily angered. Anybody here got an anger problem? I'll tell you what'll fix it. Love, right? Say, oh, yeah, but see, my dad was angry. My grandpa was angry. Anger's kind of in our family. Yeah, it's part of our genes. Yeah. No, it's part of your sinful nature. And God's wanting to do something. See, when you love someone, and what did he say? He said, we're to agape our enemies. That'll tell you right there. That'll suggest something to you. This is not about feelings. This is a decision that we make. Love is not easily angered. The church ought to be a place where people can come and we're not going to be angry at each other. Hey, we may disagree. But we're not going to... If there's anger present, then there's... Uh-oh, we got a problem, because agape love is somehow absent from that relationship. It keeps no record of wrongs. Anybody do that? You got your list? Can you remember all that stuff? You know, love won't let us keep a list. I love you too much to keep a list. You know, I don't fuss and fight with people anymore. I don't got time. I'm too old. I've given that up. That's a waste of time. I'm not going to fuss with anybody. I love you too much. I'm just going to love you. Love does not delight in evil, but it rejoices with the truth. Have you ever, tell me the truth, have you ever been glad when someone you were crossways with got their due? Hello. Maybe you didn't say it, but inside you're going, they deserve it. God loves us with this love. Has God ever done that to you? Has God ever said when you went to him, get away from me, you've been here too many times, I'm done with you. I'm finished with you. I've lost my patience with you. No, God is long-suffering with us. He never turns us away. He's always open to us. Love does not delight in evil, but it rejoices with the truth. It always protects. If somebody loves you, they're going to protect you. It always trusts. It always hopes. Hope is not for what you have. Hope is for what you do not have. It hopes. It dreams with you. It always perseveres. This love never fails. The greatest enemy of this love is selfishness, self-focus, pride. Hey, it's all about me. Look at me, look at me. This love has no... This is selfless love. This is the love that God loves us with. Now, I don't know about you, but when I look down through that list, I get a little intimidated. Anybody with me? Am I the only one? You're all going, oh, that's an easy list. I can do that. Shoot, yeah. I can do that in my sleep. There's a key. Because I look at it and I go, God, I don't know about this. I can't do this. God's going to show us how. On my desk in my office, right by my phone, is this little picture. It sits there every day. I see it every day. It reminds me of this truth. When Christ calls a man, he bids him to come and die. It's dying to self. In fact, next week, Steve's going to be picking up with this and talking about the crucified life. There's only one way you're able to agape people, and that is to die to self. If self is involved in any way, then it's no longer a selfless love. Love so easily becomes selfish. In Galatians, the second chapter, verse 20, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. And the life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. This is the key. If you don't have this key, you're never going to unlock the beauty of this love. God has put us in a position to lay down our lives for him. And that is what he did for us. He said, be imitators of God as dear children and love one another as Christ has loved us. Well, how did he do it? He said, love your wives like Christ loved the church. How does he do it? He sacrificed for us. Totally selfless. He came in the form of a man, humbled himself to the point of the cross and died for us in obedience to God. He did that for us. Why? Because he agaped us. He loved us. And he said he wants us to love the same way. Now, if you look at this list, you know, we got 8 yeses and 8 noes, and we look at all of them, and you go, I don't know, it's too much here. I want to give you a couple things that's going to help you. One, I want you to look over that list, and I want you to find a couple things in there that you would be willing to focus on for the next 30, 60 days. You're just going to focus on it and say, I'm going to try my best. God, I just want you to work this agape thing in me. I'm going to die out in this area. Maybe your issue's patience. You know, for what, say, yeah, I'm not a very patient person. I never have been. All right. This is a fruit of the Spirit. Galatians, it's a fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, long-suffering, patience. It's all in there. It's God in us, see? Pick out something and just say, God, I want you to work on me with this. For the last several years, Connie and I actually have a little tradition that we do. And if you were here at the couple night, I shared this with you. But on the first Saturday of every month, I put this little paper on my wife's bathroom mirror. I just tape it up there. And it just simply says, I love you. How am I doing? And in it is 10 agape principles of love on a scale of 1 to 10. And I have her grade me. Possible 100. Never got there. Never gotten 100 ever. This is the last one. It was on my mirror the other day. I just added it up last night. Got pretty excited. It's a 90. It's a 90. Is that an A minus? Somebody said the other day, man, you're looking good. I'm a 90. I'm a 90. I've been as low as a 57. It was not a good month. I was looking over this. I got a couple of lower scores here. Does not keep account of wrong suffered. I got a little score on that this month. Now, here's the deal. I'm not allowed to question or challenge. Although everything in me wants to, but no. My whole purpose is, okay. And of course, the more I thought about it, I said, God, why did I get that little score? And he showed me. I'll tell you why you got that score. Remember? Don't you remember? Oh, yeah, I remember. I'm not going to do that again. See, this love is a decision. This love is intentional. It's not a feel-good thing. It's something I say, I'm going to do this. I'm challenging you today to commit to that. This is kind of a natural that flows out. This agape love, though, is our foundation. If this is not right, nothing's going to be right. You take this out and the whole thing collapses. We need friendship. We need the emotional side of love. It's beautiful. God gave it to us, okay? Don't set that aside. But it's based upon this agape love. Amen? So I want to challenge you. In fact, if you're courageous enough, I have some of these down here if you'd like to take them home, guys. Have your wife grade you. Now, I do not grade her. Say, well, that's not fair. See, the Bible says that men are to love their wives, right? Like Christ, and women are to respect and honor their husbands. All right? So I found that if I will love my wife, she will honor and respect her husband. It's just kind of automatic. So we don't even go there because I think women are better at loving anyway than men are. They're better at this. It almost comes almost, they're nurturers. It's natural. But men, on the other hand, at least for me, I have to give a little more effort to it, a lot more prayer. But I believe if you come to God and you pray that prayer, God, fill me, let me love agape those around me. And here I'm going to give you a little acrostic to take with you. Are you ready for this? It's in your program. I want to challenge you to take the love challenge. All right? It's a love pledge. It's real simple to remember. And I guarantee you, if you'll do this, it'll change your marriage. It can change your relationships. I have employees. I apply this principle to them every day. My goal every day is to L-O-V-E in every relationship I have. I want to L-O-V-E my children. What is it? simply this. If you say you're going to love someone else, you're going to listen to them. You're going to listen. The Bible says be slow to speak and quick to listen. I want to give you a little secret. Don't listen to agree. Listen to understand. I said, man, this, I didn't think coming to church you'd learn stuff like this. This is. I have friends in my life that I totally disagree with. But I listen to them to understand. I want to understand their position. A lot of the conflict I've had in my life is because I listen to try to change somebody to agree with me instead of trying to understand who they are. You know, I have never learned anything while I was talking. And I think one thing women want more than anything else in this world is to be understood. Does my husband understand me? Live with your wife in a... Really? Oh, we want to overlook. We want to put others first. The Bible says that love covers a multitude of sins. If somebody says they love you and they're picking at you all the time, right? Hey, none of... I like the, as an insurance agent, I like the auto commercial. Hey, newsflash, no one's perfect. I want to say, well, I won't tell you what I want to say, but anyway. but yeah, people, you know what I mean? People, they know all your idiosyncrasies. See, this kind of love is a love that they know everything about you and they still love you. They still love you. They're not constantly bringing up little things. Well, you know... And it may all be true. And it's not. And I'm not saying that we just let things ride. There can be issues that need to be dealt with. But if someone says they love you and they're just constantly picking at the little things in your life, they don't love you. Third, V, value. If somebody loves you, they're going to make you feel valuable. It's true. Jesus made me feel pretty valuable. How about you? Oh, yeah. He paid top dollar for me. He gave his son. He gave his son. That was the payment for my sins. I must be pretty valuable to God. At least he makes me feel that way. How do you make people feel? Do they make you feel like you have value or do they devalue you? Listen to me. If someone says they love you and they devalue you, they don't love you. And lastly, most important, if somebody says they love you, they're going to encourage you. They're going to speak words of courage into you. And you're going to rise up. I mean, somebody, when you're around somebody that loves you, they're coaxing you. Come on, I'm your cheerleader. Let's go. We can do this. We can do this. You know, and they're going to put courage inside of you. Other people come along and what do? They suck it right out of you. And you feel defeated and deflated. Do you see how important this is? I make a point every day with my staff. I want to L-O-V. I have it on my desk. Did I listen to them today? Hey, there's always something to gripe about and complain about. Did I pick on them today? Did I put them first? Did I value them? See, I don't want to walk out the door unless they feel valued. And Connie knows every time I leave, I turn to them and I say this every day to them. I appreciate you. You're worth more than I can pay you. I tell them that every day. You're worth more than I can pay you. You are so valuable to me. And I always want to encourage them. Good job. Good job. And sometimes when you're in a profession, and we were praying with somebody this morning who's in this profession where people call with complaints all the time. Anybody got a job like that? You do? Yeah? That'll suck the life out of you, won't it? What an opportunity. You need my. I'll give you my little sign to put by your phone if you'd like. I'm dead. That's the only way you can make that decision. That, hey, I'm going to love like Christ loved me. I'm going to love others. Would you make that pledge today? It's pretty simple. It's time to go. We got to go outside these walls. And I challenge you this week to L-O-V-E. With everybody that comes across your path. Would you do that? Stand with me, church. I know it's time to go. We've got plans. I got some friends here with me today. Tim and Kay Townsend are here. Tim used to be an insurance agent many years ago, and we struck up a friendship. They live down in Derby, and we're glad they're here today. We're going to have lunch together, and I love you, brother. I remember when I first met you, we were just starting out as insurance agents, and it was kind of tough, wasn't it? We kind of hung on to each other. Because we were the only encouragement we had was the two of us trying to encourage one another. And I didn't know it at the time, but we were actually loving one another. I never forgot that, Tim. And I appreciate you. And God's going to bring people in your life who's going to do this. They're going to love you. Don't take them for granted. But more important, God's going to call us as a church to L-O-V-E. You say, man, you're sure talking a lot. Yeah, there's more. No. Paul said everything hangs on this. If you don't get this right, there's no need going on. You got to get this right first. It's our foundation. It's true in your marriage. Guys, ladies, L-O-V-E every day. Your children. I had my daughter call me last night with a problem in her life. And we prayed together and cried together. And we L-O-V-E'd. We listened. We valued. And my prayer was at the end that we were encouraged. It's the lifeblood of the church. Amen. Are you excited about this? I'm excited. I live for this. It is my life. The L-O-V-E. I think every problem, can I say most of our problems, most of the issues you're dealing with, you can knock them in the head with this right here. If you do it. L-O-V-E. Write it on your hand. Write it somewhere. And every day, don't lay your head on your pillow at night without keeping the pledge with somebody in your life. Amen. Father, I pray you bless this church as we leave this place. We had a great time here today. It was awesome, and being able to worship and express our feelings towards you and the sense of your feelings towards us and the reality of your love. And so because of that, Lord, we want to leave this place with the L-O-V-E in our hearts that we might be able to love other people and be imitators of you wherever we go. Would you help us do that by your power? By your strength, by your grace, we make this commitment today. Help us to do it in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. As you're dismissed, if you're here today and you need prayer in your life, we're going to stay. If you need healing in your body, we want to anoint you with oil, pray for you, pray the prayer of faith. You know why God does that? Because He loves you. He loves you. Why don't you take advantage of that? We love you. If you're here, you just need some encouragement, you come. We'll be here to pray with you and invest in your life. God bless you. Thank you for coming.